Howdy there, listeners. Just a quick note before we get started. You may have seen this on our socials, but just in case you haven't, we are going to be moving to a Wednesday release schedule instead of Tuesdays, starting with today's episode. That'll also be true of our Mage Hand Downlow over on the Patreon. Those will be released on alternating Wednesdays instead of Tuesdays as well. We're finding that Wednesday releases just work a little bit better with our recording schedule, so we're making that move over, and we really appreciate y'all moving over with us. So look for us now on Wednesdays instead of Tuesdays, wherever you get your podcasts. And in the meantime, let's get back to the show.
Hello, and welcome back to Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked by how likely they'd enjoy a trip to Chuck E. Cheese as an adult.
You going least to most or most to least?
Least to most.
All right.
Great.
As it should be.
First and least, Max Weinberg.
This is exactly where I belong, as well as this is where Stump Steenling belongs. He wants nothing to do with Chuck E. Cheese. Never been to one myself. So.
Wow.
Does he have to take Sally there?
There's no Chuck E. Cheese in Mountain Creek.
Thank God for that.
There's like 75 people there.
Yeah, you got to go to Threed for the nearest Chuck E. Cheese.
Next up, Rowan McStay.
Hi there. I'm Rowan McStay playing Salome Briar. And I don't like crowds. I would be very nervous about getting sick, but I do like arcade games. So I think that's a good place for me in the middle.
And last and most, Robin Langenhop.
This is upsettingly accurate. Robin Langenhop playing Hayden Kincaid. I think my big disappointment will be that I can't like fit into the play place anymore.
I bet you
but
could.
But I would overcommit on like Hungry Hungry Hippos and like hanging out with the animatronic rats and stuff. Hayden would get into the ball pit one way or another.
Oh,
they just
100%.
Figure it out.
Hayden would end up in that ball pit.
Oh, for sure. And then get a staph infection.
Now, Hayden, I need you to get out of that ball pit in 3, 2, 1. Hayden.
It's all right, Stump. Let them have it. Let them have it. They're enjoying themselves.
I gotta
themselves.
Go back and get my little ticket. Hey, I need my coupon.
Don't you pee in the ball pit.
Hayden keeps popping out of the ball pit as different people.
Trunk Steam, like, what are you doing in the ball pit? I'm looking for my brooch.
All right. Let's dive right in.
Yeah.
Last time on Mage Hand High Five, the group recovers from the fight with the Beast of Blackthorn Bog. Salome learns from V that the beast is unnatural and something they've never seen before. They also haven't collected any souls from Blackthorn Hollow in some time. Stump confronts Hayden about their recklessness, and they storm off. Stump discovers the beast is composed of its victims and burns it. Hayden meets their mimic, and Salome comforts them. The group reconciles and returns to the Bogland Brew. Belinda has absconded, but stolen surprisingly little, leaving notes for Brinley and Salome. The group heads to Blackthorn Bog, electing to use mine carts to travel through the bog. They fight a horde of spiders before finally reaching Blackthorn Hollow. The town stands empty, save a desolate cart reading Briar Sisters towards the back of town. Near it stands the door from Lila's message, now covered and sealed by thorned briars. So, where you are now? You are standing outside of a massive pair of stone doors. They are covered in briars. The Briar Sisters' cart stands a little ways off. The town of Blackthorn Hollow is behind you. What's going on?
I think Salome has been looking between the cart and the thicket of briars and just doesn't really even know where to start. But I think Salome is going to go back to the cart and just look around for any
notes, any messages that they might have left for her or for anybody else who might come looking for them, and just anything that might be useful inside the cart.
You head over to the cart. It sits alone. The ropes which held the horse in place seemingly severed. The cart itself has definitely seen better days. The rain has washed a lot of the color away, and the Briar Sisters' sign, which hangs on the side of the cart, has begun to pale and to peel. You look inside, there are a lot of ingredients sort of spilled out all over the floor. They look either gone or have been rummaged through by wild animals in search of food. But Salome, roll an intelligence check.
That's a 9.
With a 9, you remember that there is a secret compartment in the cart.
Oh.
You're having trouble remembering where it is.
Stump, can you help me look around? There's a secret compartment somewhere around here, and I've been gone for too damn long, and I can't remember where it is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's an 18.
With an 18, Stump, you look around. Sure enough, at one point, you sort of push aside a shelf. There is a brass ring that you can pull up a small compartment door, and inside is a small box. Within the box are 3 potions of healing and a note.
I keep the potions in hand, Salome, the note.
Oh, yeah, I don't even think about the potions. I go straight for the note.
The note says, Salome, I know it's you because only you knew about this compartment. Unless somebody got real lucky, but I don't bank on it. If you're reading this, we're probably long gone. Hopefully, the scourge has died with us. In case it hasn't, here's a few potions. I wish there was more to give you, but we'll need them where we're headed. I love you more than anything on earth, dear heart. Maggie and Lila.
Which one of the sisters wrote this?
Salome, you notice that this is in Maggie's writing.
Yeah, I figured as much. Y'all, I don't really know what to make any of this. Apparently Aunt Mags thinks we might already be too late.
Well, the path might have gone a little bit cold at this point, but we know where they started here. I can see about tracking them.
I think we start behind those doors. And can I go up to the wall of briars and just maybe roll an insight check to see why those might be there and like what purpose they're serving?
Yeah. You return to the briars. Roll insight.
23.
Salome, you reach out and touch one of the briars, and there's a warmth that radiates from it. And suddenly you are 10 years earlier. You are standing on a train platform in Red Rock. The platform is a little outside of town, so you're able to see Red Rock about a mile away, laying sleepily beneath the red cliffs which give its name. It's mid-afternoon, starting towards evening now, and the sky has begun to bleed. You're standing on the platform and waiting. Behind you, the massive charcoal black steam engine looms, patiently biding its time. You scan the people before you again and again, soon-to-be passengers talking to their business colleagues, their friends, their loved ones, but you don't see them. A hand gently takes hold of your elbow.
May, I think we ought to board soon.
You turn to see your fiancé, Thaddeus. Sun-blonde hair, boyish blue eyes, a dazzlingly perfect smile. He looks like the textbook definition of an angel. In fact, you've caught people staring at the both of you several times today. And he says, we're supposed to be departing soon. I don't think even I can keep a train waiting.
I know, darling. It's just Aunt Mag said that they would be here to see me off. And it's just really important for me to be able to say goodbye to him. Look, 5 more minutes, darling. I think we can wait 5 minutes.
He says, May, what if they don't show?
They will. They said they'd be here. They'll be here.
As you say that, you look again, and you do see them.
See, look, what did I tell you? Look at that. There they come right now.
Two women approach, and you feel a stab of ice in your gut as, for just a brief moment, your mind instinctively searches for the third. But you do your best to brush that away. Maggie, the middle sister, rushes towards you, her braided brown hair whipping behind her. Under one arm, she carries an ancient one-eyed tomcat you know to be named Wink. Under her other arm is a newer addition, an armadillo named Daisy.
Aww.
Strapped to her back is her trusty five-string moon banjo, as Maggie never leaves anywhere without one or three of her instruments. She rushes towards you quickly but gently, placing her companions on the ground before enveloping you in a hug.
Oh, Aunt Max, you are right on time. And here Thaddeus was worrying you wouldn't show up. Oh, and look at you, Wink Stink. How you doing, little man? I give Wink a little scratch behind the ears, give Daisy a little scratch under the chin, wrap Mags in a big old hug. Just give everybody a little love.
Maggie says, oh, lords, ladies, and lovelies above, I'm plum tuckered we rushed all the way here.
Yeah, what happened? You have to run to get here?
She says, oh, Thaddeus, ain't you something? Come here, kid, give me a hug. She full-on bear hugs Thaddeus, too, who just sort of, is fully awkward in her embrace. And you know that that's just how Maggie is. Mm-hmm. To her, the world is a song. She'd hug the devil himself. And then the other end of the spectrum arrives. Lila, the oldest, stands a little shorter than her younger sister. For a druid, her demeanor is more reminiscent of iron than of wood. Her once raven hair has recently taken on a gray sheen. Her face is hardened from years of tackling troubles head-on for her sisters. She stops a few feet away and clears her throat. Maggie lets go of Thaddeus and steps back. And Maggie says, well now, off and bound you are for Threed. The big banana, some of us call it. And Lila scoffs and says, the big bran muffin, more like.
Oh, come on, Eli. You ever been to Threed?
She doesn't look you in the eye.
Oh, God. I kind of look to Maggie like, please help.
Maggie sort of ignores Lila and says, never did go to Threed. Been to Echo, though. Been to Echo, and boy, howdy, you should hear the songs they sing there.
Yeah, well, Thaddeus, what do you think? Is Threed anything like Echo?
Thaddeus looks at you as if you've grown a second head. And he says, no. Good God, no.
Well, all right. I mean, I've never been to either, so I'm just excited. I'm excited to find out. Oh, Mags, one thing I did want to tell you, I didn't want anybody to get upset, but just so you know, I have been feeding Wink a little bit of cheese every night around 8:30, so if he starts hollering at you around 8:30 every night, nothing's wrong with him. He just wants his night cheese. If you just give him a little bit, I figured nobody would like me doing it, but he's older than the river. He deserves it, so.
Maggie says, oh, that's why he's been putting up such a stink around that time. Oh, you nasty little rascal. You've been getting some cheese.
Yeah, I've been giving some to Daisy, too, but.
Maggie says, well, I'll take that under advisement. And Lila just sort of,
Yeah, I think Salome's, trying to kind of make light of things and is constantly checking in with Lila to be like, how's she responding to this?
Lila's energy is that of a powder keg. She is keeping a tight rein on her emotions, because if she didn't, she would lay waste to about everything within a half mile.
Well, Thaddeus, you said you had a few brothers, three, was it? Thaddeus said we could visit all the time, so I'm thinking maybe we should plan to maybe meet up in Providence for the Mayhew Festival this year. It's really beautiful in the fall. I think it's a good halfway point between here and Threed. Maybe we could all get together. You could meet Thaddeus' brothers, right?
he sort of thinks to himself and goes, oh, Providence. Yeah, I've heard of Providence. Perhaps we can make something like that happen. He sort of looks at the two sisters and he says, I would love to show you the hospitality of Threed at some point. It's really is something, especially if you've never been there, he says, pointing to Maggie. Lila stares daggers at Thaddeus. And Thaddeus sort of like locks eyes with her a second and then sort of goes, you know what? I need to check and make sure that the bags are in the right compartment. If you'll excuse me, it was great to see you. He sort of turns to you, Salome, and says, don't be too long, darling.
I won't, honey. I'll just be a minute. And I give him kind of an already maybe perfunctory little kiss on the cheek before he goes.
You kiss him on the cheek. He hops in the train. I think Maggie catches the vibe and says, well, listen, girly, if you're ever missing home, you know you can always come back here, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Thaddeus said we could come back and visit all the time. And I already know I'm gonna miss the heck out of you two. I mean, I don't think I've been away from you longer than a week at a time. But look, I'll write you all the time. Y'all can come out to Threed whenever you like. I mean, you're gonna have to come out for the wedding. And, you know, I'll see you in a few months, right? For the Mayhew Festival, and then maybe I could come back again soon.
Lila, after you mention the wedding, she starts to...
Aunt Lila, please. Come on, I don't feel right leaving with you still upset like this.
She says, how am I supposed to? How am I supposed to act?
Well, I don't know, but...
No, tell me. You seem to know everything. So tell me, how am I supposed to be right now?
Well, that's not what I... Aunt Lila, that's not fair.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, I love you, and I'm telling you that I love you, and I'm gonna miss you, and that I'd like to see you again soon.
Then why are you heading away?
I mean, what, Aunt Lila? I'm 20 years old. Am I not allowed to live my own life? I mean, hell, I'm getting married. Would it kill you to be happy for me?
You know what? You can do whatever you want to do. You want to go and sell yourself off to the highest bidder, then do it.
That ain't right. Lie, you know that Thaddeus has been nothing but kind to me and you since he got here.
Ooh, girl, there are things that you don't know.
No, just because
you don't know the lion's den you're lowering yourself into.
No, just because he's a Jameson, you've been looking at him sideways since the day you met him. Now, I really wish you'd give him a chance before you go off and say something else you're gonna regret.
She shakes her head and she says, you know what, girl? You are just like your mother. You know that?
Oh, hell, okay.
You get some idea in your head and you're off gallivanting without a care in the world. Head in the God's damn clouds. Well, keep going. Go on, girl, keep going. You want to be like Beth? Go on, you'll end up like her.
Oh, go end up like Mama. Okay. All right, you say that like it's a bad thing. I'd rather end up like Mama than you any day.
That escapes from your lips?
Wait. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
The whole time, Maggie is just sort of standing there, shell-shocked.
I didn't mean that. I don't know why you had to bring Mama into this.
I guess I don't think I got anything more to say. And saying that, Lila turns on her heel and begins walking away.
Wait, no, Aunt Lila, please.
Maggie sort of turns to you and takes her by the shoulders, and she says, darling, she didn't mean that. She's going through a lot. Here, you stay right here. I'm gonna go get her. We're gonna work this out. Hold on.
No, wait. You don't have to go. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to talk to her like that.
You're okay. You're okay. I'm gonna go check with her. I'm gonna bring her back here. We're gonna fix this. And she turns and starts to head off. You see her catch up to Lila, who spins on her and starts talking loud to her too. You're not able to hear anything that's saying because at that moment the train whistle blows behind you.
No, wait, hold on.
Steam emits from the drain cogs next to the wheels of the train, which means that this train is leaving now.
Wait, hold on one second. Aunt Max, hey.
You see them both shouting at each other now. They're not able to hear you because they're not even able to hear each other. And as you're standing watching this happen, you feel a hand on your shoulder, and you hear Thaddeus' voice say, May, it's time.
No, honey, hold on. I just, they walked away. I need to go talk to him. Just give me one second.
We have no more seconds. You're either on the train or you're off.
I think I try one last time to flag them down to get their attention. And if I can't, just kind of quietly say, I love you. I'll be back soon. and I look at them as long as I can on the way to the train.
The platform of Red Rock shrinks in the distance behind you. You take your seat next to Thaddeus, who grabs you by the hands, and he says, "Everything's going to be okay. Once you see Threed, everything will change."
I didn't mean for that to... God, my Aunt Lila's just so damn stubborn sometimes. I just don't know how to talk to her.
Well, you can write.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, darling.
Of course. Hey, I'm always going to be here for you. Salome, you are back. Your hand is now white-knuckling these briars. And you feel a familiarity, a stillness, a comfort emanating from the briars. Almost as if this briar could, it would hold you back. You release your hand, and the briars begin to separate, allowing just enough room for someone to slip through. Or three someones.
Yeah, I think Salome lets go of the briars, hands still bleeding from clinging to them so hard. And as she does, I think she very gently plucks a small vine from the briars and just wraps it around the handle of her sword. Mm. Just to have some part of them to cling to as they go into the refinery, however much it might hurt. All right, if these briars are still here, there's a chance they might still be with us.
Well, I mean, if they're responsive to connecting with you, that must mean that your aunts are around somewhere, right?
I think so. I hope so. It's the best hope I got right now.
Hey, Salome, you think your aunts would be okay if I just took some of these recipes with us?
Write them down, Stump.
Stump, read the room.
I am. There's some recipes. I'm trying to read them.
Oh, but
they're literally lining the wall.
Stump, just pocket them, and then we'll talk about it later.
Oh, my God. If Stump tries to take a recipe off the wall, Salome goes to smack him.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll ask him later.
Get out.
You're not my mom.
All right. I guess we head over to the refinery and open up the... Oh, try to get in.
You head in. Past the briars to the large stone doors, you're able to push one of them slightly ajar in order to slip inside. As you look back over your shoulder, you do see the briars begin to close themselves back up after you.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
Oh.
As soon as we get down here, I'm going to take 10 minutes and ritual cast alarm on the door so we know if anyone comes through.
Stump, you begin to cast that. As that's happening, Hayden.
Yes.
Your vision starts to cloud.
Oh, I don't like that.
Just slightly. Just as if there's like sort of a dimming effect over everything that's going on right now. And you hear a voice that says, "Hello, Hayden."
Well, hi. might I inquire who's inside my mind right now?
Of course. I apologize for the interruption. I hope you're well. My name is Tiberius Jameson.
Mr. Jameson.
I tell you, you've created a lot of work for wanted poster sketch artists everywhere. They've yet to pin down a face for you.
Well, I take that as quite the compliment.
It was intended as such, and I can't say that I'm not damn curious as to what you really look like. But to tell you the truth, Hayden, I'm calling as a bit of a courtesy. There are some things I'd like to make you aware of. First, I've been told of your story, Hayden, that you were a victim of the streets, how your family was shattered by the one whose hat you now wear. It's a powerful story, Hayden. I'm not ashamed to say that I was inspired. And that's why I wanted you to be the first to know that I'm introducing a new bill for legislation. We're working to create spaces for the homeless, giving them food and welfare, helping them back into the workforce. And well, I've decided to call it the Piper Initiative. I'm sure my colleagues will resist, but
the future is open for everyone.
Well, as intrigued as I am by this offer, I can't imagine that naming legislation off of a defunct street gang is necessarily the kind of publicity you're looking for.
I want people to know my reasons for trying to put some good back into the community. I believe that if this initiative were in place, perhaps you would not have gone down the road that you now tread.
You know, this whole concept is fascinating, I assure you. It doesn't exactly vibe with what you and your organization, your family's organization, has been up to lately.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you've been told.
I'm sure you know what I know.
Well, what I know, Hayden, is that I must admit I'm scratching my head a little bit about the idea that you, a bounty hunter, would not only resist turning in the single largest bounty in the Badlands, I've made sure of that, but would actively journey with her and risk being turned in yourself.
If we're being entirely honest, Minister Jameson, I haven't exactly been in a position to collect any bounties lately because your associates keep sending people out to try and kill me. If you want to make any sort of deal with me, make some connection to the Pipers or try to dangle a bounty over my head, you need to stop Courtois and all of her little lackeys at the church. I'm sure you have connections with the church. You need to get them off my back so I can do my job. Understood?
Hayden, you're absolutely right, and I am hearing you.
I bet.
I assume that it would not matter if I told you that the bounty on Salome's head is roughly 500,000 gold by this point. Because, Hayden, there are two types of people in this world, as I'm sure you know. There are little picture people, and there are big picture people. And for little picture people, money is enough. Money is what makes the world go round, as they say. It greases the wheels of society. And little picture people, they need money. But big picture people, people like you and I, we're motivated by larger things. Things like legacy, family. We look after our own. We mourn our fallen. I was inspired by your story, Hayden, because you knew what it was like to hold that black fire of anger in your gut. To stoke it for fear of it going out, leaving the ashes of grief in its place. To long to see it burn the person who... And Hayden, for a second, the mask slips. You feel the charm and charisma slip, and you feel the man inside the politician. You feel the hurt and the anger. But then it's back in place. And he says, well, you understand what I'm saying. And I don't expect you to do it for altruism, nor money, as I've said before. So, what do I have to offer you? Well, you've already said it yourself. How about freedom? As I've come to understand it, you've been looking over your shoulder for a while now, Hayden. And what if you didn't have to? Courtois is an attack dog. She's useful, but only insofar as she stays out of her own way. She may be outliving her usefulness. So, bring me Salome, and perhaps we'll set you and your friend and anyone you like in a penthouse suite in Upper Threed, free of charge. And you will never have to worry about anything again.
Do you understand?
I'm beginning to.
Great. Oh, one more thing. Because of the weight of this offer, you must understand that I can't afford to keep it open forever. Like all good deals, it's a limited time offer. I'll give you a day or two to think about it, and I'm going to need an answer. After that time, 500,000 gold is nothing to sneeze at, and I know plenty of little picture people who would be more than happy to take me up on my offer.
And how would I contact you once I have my answer? Or are you just watching my every movement already?
Don't call me. I'll call you. Take care, Hayden. The Badlands are a dangerous place. And then the vision clears.
Casey, before anything else happens, do I know anything about scrying or surveillance or how Tiberius might have been able to talk to me to know whether my immediate next actions are being watched?
Hayden, I will say, you know that there are some pretty powerful, like, legendary level magic items out there, and that usually they do one thing, and they do it really well. If there is something that is capable of long-range communication like that, it's very powerful, but that's probably all it does.
Got it. Okay. Do I need to make a roll to obscure the fact that I essentially zoned out for several minutes?
Salome, with sort of your reminiscence just now, a pretty powerful one, and Stump, with your casting a ritual, casting a 10-minute ritual, do you think you would be in a place to pay attention to what Hayden's doing?
No.
Honestly, no. Yeah, I think Salome's a little lost in the sauce here.
Then honestly, I don't think you need to roll for anything, Hayden.
Then Hayden, sitting with the weight of this conversation, reaches down into one of their pockets and pulls out the baby mimic and lets it sit as a coin and run back and forth over their fingers and just looks at the glitter of the gold coin and tries to keep their face blank.
You do that. There's a little bit of a meditation that goes with it. As the coin flips past your fingers, you're able to focus on it. Stump, the alarm is cast. Do you all proceed down?
I think we might want to try to be as stealthy as we can. I know that's rich coming from me, but I'll do my best.
Great. All of you roll stealth checks.
I'll also, like, look out for traps and things like that.
Okay, yeah.
Is there any kind of light down here?
Not much of one. You see that at some point there were oil lanterns that have gone dark.
I got an 18.
16.
I got a 14.
Great.
Hey, Stump, now I got these mayonnaise goggles. I can actually see in the dark pretty well. Look at this.
Yeah.
Do we figure out the mayonnaise problem?
I don't mind the mayonnaise so much. It's just sort of not being able to get rid of it is a problem.
Next long rest, I'll take a guess. I'll take a look at it.
Salome's hair is just a little greasy now.
Oh my gosh. You all begin the descent. It's a pretty long tunnel. It's sort of stone on all sides. You see there are tracks leading down as if, like, you could move a cart down here. And as you're heading down, Stump, roll a charisma saving throw.
I don't like any of this today.
That's a 16.
Stump, about partway down the tunnel, you start getting a really bad headache. Max, have you ever had a migraine?
I have not.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, they suck.
Migraines, depending on the person, can be hemispheral, which means they are either on one side of the head or the other. And when you get a migraine, it feels like someone has slipped a butter knife between your eye and the wall of your eye socket and sort of wiggled it around in there.
That description upsets me.
It's not wrong.
Before you have time to think too much about it, a voice appears in your head.
Shit.
It's a familiar voice that says, "Stump, we're out for good now. Hazak dead.
Must have crossed Jameson too many times. Government raid on hideout. Kept hush hush. Talk more in echo.
Do you say anything back?
Holy shit.
That's it.
Holy shit. A bit, little busy at the moment. We'll definitely talk in echo. Should be there soon. Firstly, any of y'all have a headache? Just want to make sure if it's me or anybody else.
No, I think things seem to be okay. You
all
right?
Good on this end.
Yeah, I just got this feeling like there's like a butter knife going into my eye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we think it has anything to do with the amulet? I mean, you might just have a headache.
I've never had one of these.
It could be that for once in our lives, we just have a normal medical situation.
When'd you last eat, honey?
Yeah, do you need a snack? I got some mayonnaise here you can put on a snack if you need it.
Yeah, can I just like suckle on your mayonnaise goggle?
No.
Oh my God. No, Stump, then I won't be able to see. Come here. I just like take some crackers out of my bag and like rub a little bit of the mayonnaise from the goggles on the crackers and give it to Stump. Take a little snack.
I'll keep you updated.
All right, that sounds good. I'm going to kind of shift back behind the group a little bit and just open up my little toiletry bag and take a little sneaky peeky at the amulet to see if anything is happening with it.
I mean, it is glowing.
Like normal glowing or like different glowing?
You know how it usually pulsates?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just on.
I think Salome just kind of like whacks it a couple times and is like, God damn it, just stay down for a second. We got other shit to worry about right now.
Stump dies.
Like, zips it back up in her little toiletry pack and puts it back in the bag. It was just like, we ain't dealing with this right now, I swear to God.
But a little bit more importantly, since that's only happening to me and not a collective experience we're all having, I just got a message from Cordrin, like my buddy from the old days, and he said that Hazek's done. Like, they're gone.
What the hell happened?
They just sent people after you a couple of days ago. How are they done?
He said they crossed Jameson, you know, one too many times, and Jameson must have done something.
That's highly suspicious.
Well, maybe the message gave you a little headache.
I mean, yeah, Cordrin's voice kind of sucks. It was kind of, you know.
He's just such an asshole.
Sometimes do get a headache from it.
Are you sure it was Cordrin? Because that amulet's been messing with your mind, and I'm a little bit nervous that it's playing some kind of trick on you pretending to be Cordrin. It seems a little suspicious that Hazek is just done.
Can I do like an insight check? Because he didn't call me asshole or something like that, which happened in the previous message.
That's fair.
And usually, you know, messages and sending don't hit you like that.
It's a 13 insight.
With a 13, you think it might be Cordrin.
Well, sorry about your headache, honey. Hey, here's some, suck on this for a minute. Seriously. And I give Stump a little bit of willow bark because it does help with headaches. Take this. Just chew on it for a minute. Don't do that.
Get that ASMR shit out of you.
Ew. Yeah, just nibble on this for a second. Should do your headache a little better. And maybe just don't listen to anything it tells you until we can confirm that we are talking to Cordrin.
I mean, it's possible because, you know, Hazek isn't as big as it used to be, apparently. So, you know, probably taking him out in fell swoop isn't as hard as it was when I was there.
Yeah, I mean, look, anything's possible. But honestly, I think everybody keep an eye out. And if anyone's getting messages in your heads and you don't know where they come from, maybe just share with the class.
Absolutely. We need to for sure share these things with the class.
Yeah.
In any case, we're not doing anything about a Hazek one way or another while we're down here. Let's keep going.
This episode of Mage Hand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows, if we're your third favorite actual play, They might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and join the party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at jointhepartypod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Mage Hand High Five sent you and that their direct creator support initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying it can kill with only its stench. Find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to The Adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
About that time, you see that the tunnel opens into sort of a large circular room. There are several adjoining rooms off to the sides. One room is stacked with barrels of what you assume is fire powder. The back wall of that room is wooden, likely as a means of funneling any explosion outward instead of inward. There are two or three rooms with massive grinding wheels, rooms with tree trunks stacked 10 to 15 rows deep. An adjoining room to the log rooms, which look like with what looks like massive brick ovens. Other rooms with large vats of water. In the far back of the room, in its own little alcove, is a metal shutter sealing off an elevator shaft. Next to it is a vertical conveyor belt of sorts with scoops built to bring up materials for grinding from deep in the mine. Everything is unmoving, and the refinery is all but silent.
Is there any sign around of any kind of recent movement, any footprints, anything disturbed that makes it look like someone has actually interacted with anything in this area?
Roll investigation.
I got a 29.
Holy shit! Yeah, you okay, Stump finds something.
I lick the dust. Tell me everything.
You are able to see not a ton has happened in this room for a while. But there was a point in time where a lot happened in this room. In certain areas of the floor, you see bloodstains dried from months ago. You think that if there is anyone still in this refinery, they have not been in this room in a while.
I think Salome walks toward the barrel room and is like, Stump, I mean, should we just go ahead and take us some of this fire powder?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it can't do any harm, right?
Oh, no,
never. Is there a way to safely transport this? We could use the bag of holding we got. Could we fill the bag of holding with fire powder?
I don't know that we should fill the whole bag with fire powder, but maybe if we had like some smaller containers, possibly, like maybe we put the barrels in there or something.
Stump starts patting himself down and goes, "Oh man, where did I put that sandwich?"
Oh my god.
Yeah. There it is.
Honey, tell me you did not pack that in Mountain Creek.
Oh no.
I don't want to talk about it. And Stump takes out several sandwiches. And goes, could we fill these baggies with fire powder?
What color are the sandwiches at this point, Stump?
What color aren't these sandwiches at this point?
Oh no. That's so much worse than any answer I could think of.
Three bags of goo.
Okay. All right. I will roll a D4, and depending on what I roll, that's how many sandwich bags you'll get.
All right.
I'm going to shove the sandwich into a vial to use as poison later.
Oh, God.
All right.
Stump. This room has terrible ventilation. Please put those away.
Okay, you have three sandwich bags. Use them wisely.
Contaminated ever so slightly with sandwich goo.
And how many pockets do I have?
Oh, can we put the sandwiches in the pockets?
No. You will not destroy my beautiful coat with those rancid, disgusting monstrosities.
Can you just bury those?
Somewhere Clovis just cringed, like on a cosmic level.
Just a little shudder.
And Philomena salivated.
Ew! God, Salome's kind of like, ugh. And then kind of walks toward the elevator. Can we see if the elevator is still like operational?
Sure. You roll a perception check.
That's a 5.
There's an elevator. We found it.
Oh boy.
Stop, Peyton. Y'all want to come take a look at this elevator? I don't know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, can I roll an investigation check, Casey?
Roll investigation.
Sorry, darling. Last time I had an elevator, it was sort of in the building that Thaddeus and I lived in, and somebody else always operated it.
I famously lived underground for most of my life, so elevators are not exactly my strong suit, but I'll look.
Yeah, I don't really know what the buttons do.
I got a 9.
That's a 25.
There you go.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Never mind.
So on a 25, you look, the elevator seems like it's still in working condition. You think six months ago, it was probably still working fine. And so in those last 6 months, you don't think it would have deteriorated to the point of being unusable. You also look, and to the side, in the wall, are a series of three levers, all of them in the down-facing position, which you think might be the lock mechanism that keeps the elevator from moving.
I mean, do we want to go look around for, like, a guide or something? Like a little manual for how to...
I pull the second lever!
Okay!
You
maybe if we could find some instructions or something. All right.
That was my idea too. There's only like 7 options.
Sorry, right? there are the three levers, and then next to it is a fourth lever, which you think that is the call elevator mechanism. So there are the three that are the lock, and then the one that calls the elevator.
I pull the second lever and then the call lever.
You flip the second lever into the on position, click the last lever, and a loud grinding mechanical
I should not have
echoes.
You know what? Someone else do this.
We're just gonna pull a lever, huh?
Yes, Stump pulls
uncall,
a different lever.
Uncall. Well,
all right.
Before any of this happens, as that grinding sound echoes through all of the chambers and catacombs beneath, there's a moment of silence, and then you hear a less mechanical screech answer. This one sounds like a creature.
Does this sound like a creature that we've met before?
It does.
Oh, no.
And as you listen, a few more screeches answer that one's call.
That's not good.
Y'all, I think I made a boo-boo.
Preemptively, like as this all is happening, I'm just going to cast Bless on all three of us to give us a d4 to attacks and saves.
Don't deserve it, but thank you.
Oh, honey, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to go look for a map. Y'all keep trying levers.
Okay.
Stump, I nominate you. I did it wrong the first time.
As you get ready to pull another lever, you hear thudding coming from the wooden wall behind the barrel room.
Well, at the very least, there's some sandwiches to drive them off.
You throw another lever. Which one? With A being up, B being down, at the moment it is B, A, B.
All up.
All up. All A's.
Yeah.
Great. You...
Stump, you took too long. I'm counting again.
You throw the remaining two levers up, throw the fourth switch, and another loud grinding sound erupts from the elevator. Another wrong answer.
Oh,
see, Stump, you should not have
y'all.
Let me do this again. This is all on you now.
Salome, roll an investigation check to find a map or instructions.
Shit, that's a three.
Oh, no!
Y'all, I'm not finding anything. You might want to throw some levers faster. Stump, can you come help us look for instructions? I'll pull levers with Hayden.
The thudding,
yeah, sure, I'll give it a look.
The thudding on the barrel room wall grows louder. You hear a smashing sound as a large hand erupts from the wall and begins scratching at the side of the wall.
Okay, I'm going to roll to try to find this.
Great, roll investigation.
That's a 26.
A 26. Yes, you run, and in one of the other rooms, there is a small instruction manual to the mill as a whole. In the early pages, there is a combination for the lock mechanism that says down, up, up.
Down, up, up.
Down, up, up. Let's do
you
it.
You said up, up, down, up.
Nope, nope, none up,
nope. Hayden, you heard me, right?
Yeah, up, down, up.
We'll find out.
Hayden, do you flip those switches?
I follow the directions.
I then run back to the elevator.
You flip the first one down, leaving the last two up. You hit the last lever, and instead of a loud screech, it is more of a groan as the elevator springs to life.
Salome, is that a good sound?
Look, it's a different sound, and I'm banking on it being a good one.
As the elevator slowly begins to rise, the wall gives way, and tumbling in are five of the creatures that you saw in Boiling Brook. They shamble horridly across the floor, their bodies undulating with every movement. And as they sight you with their many eyes that bubble to the surface and collapse within once more, they... And I need you all to roll initiative.
Well, shit. Okay.
That's a nat 20.
Hey, nice.
Oh,
whoa.
That's an 8 for Salome.
It's basically the same.
That's a 30-20 for Stump.
So, five... Let's call them shamblers. Come out of the fire powder room. They're roughly humanoid shape, but their form is constantly shifting. You see hands writhe across their body and disappear into their flesh. Their heads grow eyes that pull back into their flesh a moment later. Each of them is just a writhing, crawling amalgamation of limbs. Hayden, you are first in the order. What would you like to do as this elevator is taking its sweet, sweet time?
My eyes narrow. The quintessential ooh-ooh goes off, and I use my bonus action to Hunter's Mark the closest shambler.
Okay.
And then I pull out my trusty boom-boom thing, otherwise known as a crossbow. And fire some attacks.
Okay.
I don't know. I just fire crossbow every turn.
Great.
18 on the first hit.
That will hit.
Dirty 20 on the second hit.
Great.
18 on the third hit.
All hit. Roll some damage.
Very nice.
Oh, boy. Right. Oh, boy.
7 on the first hit, 9 on the second hit, 10 on the third.
Ooh, very nice.
Sink three crossbows into the nearest shambler. These crossbows stick out of its flesh, and it cries out in anger and pain and keeps coming. Next in the order is Stump. Is there anything else you'd like to do, Hayden?
No, I want to hang out right here at the elevator door so that we can book it as soon as we need to.
Remember to add your D4s on attack rolls and saving throws from Bless.
Ooh, yes, good call. I did not roll those before.
Yeah.
Stump, you are over near the furnace room. So you're a little bit a ways away from the rest of the group. And the shamblers are sort of making a triangle with you at the moment. They are moving their way towards Salome and Hayden. They're not moving their way towards you.
How far away from me are they?
I'd say about 40 feet.
We're going to do our classic run and gun situation here where Stump runs up 30 feet, flings a vial of poison on this shambler in the front for poison spray, and it'll have to make a constitution saving throw.
That's going to fail.
Yeah, all right.
That's I don't need to check. It rolled an 8.
I'm going to do just a classic poison spray. I'm above level 5, so I get 2d12 now.
Okay.
For the regular poison spray.
Stump, I did switch the sugar back with your regular poison spray stuff, so it should work this time.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's 14 damage.
Okay.
And they have to make another constitution saving throw or be poisoned.
Yeah, all right.
That's a nat 1, baby.
Hell yeah. Yeah, there it is, Stump.
That one is poisoned, and then I'm going to bonus action run right back where I came from.
Bonus action, get the fuck out.
Incredible. You hock a potion at it. It shatters and sort of coats it in acid. You hear the of its formless flesh burning. You see the poison sink in to the cuts of the glass and see it sink into its flesh and know that it's poisoned. And you hightail it back to the furnace room. Next is the first of the shamblers.
Is this the one that's been damaged?
Yes, it's the closest.
Okay.
It's going to move 30 feet to you, Salome, and is going to try and bite you.
With disadvantage.
Bite down. God, I didn't do anything to you yet.
You see its head emerge forward, jaws open. Ugh. It clamps around your arm, but it bites down on your armor instead of you and is unable to find purchase in your flesh.
Clovis, I love you. You made it work.
You beautiful, beautiful man.
And it's sort of in anger. Next is a different shambler. It is going to run forward, and it's going to try and attack you as well, Salome.
All right. Well, everybody just ganging up on me.
That one also fails. Next in the order is Salome.
Okay. I just try to, like, shake these two off of me, and immediately I think I want to look. Do I see, like, wisps inside of these creatures?
Yeah. Roll a charisma check as you try to summon this new power.
That is a 5.
No!
You try and clear your mind. You try and call upon these powers, and you are going, please, please, please let it work this time. And you are just trying to fire the ignition. You're trying to turn the key, and the engine is stalling.
Okay, I think this is, I mean, not being able to access this shit's what got Salome into Threed in the first place. So she's pissed, and I think she just hauls off and tries to attack the nearest one and the most hurt one. Is it looking pretty hurt?
The poison shambler is looking pretty bad.
Okay, I'm going to cast Hexblade's Curse on the other one, the one that looks better.
Okay.
And actually attack the one that looks a little bit better.
Cool.
That's a 10.
Have you been rolling with Bless?
Oh, with Bless. Oh my God, I'm blessed. Yeah. Hold on.
There's a chance.
That's an 11.
That's not it. You attempt to slash down. It misses. It whiffs. I think you are too angry right now that your powers just cannot manifest still. You blindly swing out and you miss. Another shambler lurches, this time for Hayden.
Ooh.
It's going to cross the gap and it's going to try and attack you.
Come at me.
That's a nat 20 on the die.
Ooh.
How does 20 points of piercing damage do you?
Well, you know what? It's not the worst I've ever experienced, but I'm not a fan.
This shambler lurches at you with sort of horrifying speed. And before you're able to move out of the way, you see elongated, sharpened teeth, not humanoid teeth, latch down into your shoulder and dig deep.
Ah.
And you hear it.
I think as a reaction.
Okay.
Salome like turns around and just says, "You will stay away from my friends and you will stay away from my family, and I don't give a damn if I can't hit you. I will take you down." And I think the thorns like come out of the pommel of her sword and wrap around this creature. And I'm going to cast Rebuke the Violent as a reaction, which is my channel divinity. And that creature is going to make a wisdom save, and it'll take radiant damage either equal to or half what it just dealt.
I will say these things are not terribly wise.
Wonderful.
That is a 5 to save. Great. So that is not going to save. What happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think Salome has wrapped Lila's briars around the pommel of her sword, and I think they literally grow out from her and just start sinking into the like body and eyes and like orifices of this creature. Like whatever orifice there is, it sinks in and starts just ripping it apart. And it takes 20 damage.
God. Okay. Cool. As that happens, you watch as like eyes bubble to the surface of this thing. The thorns jab them, and as the eyes sink back in, they pull the thorns in with it.
Ooh.
This thing is sort of just ripping itself apart from the inside just by its own nature of how it moves and how your attack is lacerating it. And so you see the flesh start to shred.
As it detaches from Hayden, Hayden looks over at Salome and says, "Thanks, friend." And you see in Hayden's eyes both genuine thanks and a weird twinge of guilt.
I think, yeah, Salome just puts, I think maybe just misinterprets that even as like, "You felt bad that I had to come after you," you know, after the conversation we had about Hayden always looking after themselves. And ooh, says, "Don't worry about it. Listen, I'm always here to take care of you."
Next in the order are the last two shamblers, the first of which turns, sees the acid puddle on the ground of the one that got hit by Stump's poison spray, looks over and sees Stump and goes, and is going to cross 30 feet in an attempt to get to him. It is not able to do anything on its turn, but it crosses the gap to get to you. And then the shambler after it pulls the same maneuver and comes after you as well. So you now have two shamblers about 10 feet away from you. And that is going to be top of the order, Hayden. In the background of this fight, you hear the of the elevator shaft recalling the elevator. It's not here yet.
Oh, come on.
We might have wanted
to
look for a stairwell or something.
Yeah, we might have wanted to look for a solution to the levers before we just started pulling, Hayden, but I think we're in it.
All right, I'm going to keep wailing at the first one that I've got Hunter's marked.
Great. Go for it.
29 on the first hit and 19
Yo,
on the second.
Yo, if we just averaged Hayden's and Salome's rolls,
we'd all hit all the time.
They'd still all hit.
So it's a 29 on the first and 19 on the second?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to roll the damage on those just in case I take it out with this and save my bonus action.
Okay.
22 total.
You fire another couple of crossbow bolts into it. It and collapses. And as it does, it sort of just like dissolves into like a flesh puddle.
Gross.
And it is out of combat.
I will bonus action move my hunter's mark to... The one that bit me is still around, right?
Yeah, it's still right up on you.
I might need to go for that before I can try and help anyone else.
If we can focus out our hits between them, I might be able to put some of them to sleep.
Ooh,
we just gotta get them all down a little bit.
Let's do that.
Okay. Next in the order is Stump. Stump, you have two shamblers about 10 feet away from you now, and they are beelining it at you.
Can I still run another 30 feet just to kind of keep 40 feet between us?
Yeah, you can run 30 feet, and then you will hit the back wall of the brick furnace room.
They've cornered me into a room, is what you're telling me.
Yes. And I will say, in my earlier description, I did say that the furnace room is connected to the log room. So there is a side exit of this room.
Can I see one of the ones that's up on Salome?
Yeah, it's about 40 feet away from you, though.
Yeah, so I'm just going to take out my crossbow and shoot one of the guys, that one of the shamblers that's at Salome right now.
Okay.
Or the shambler.
Yeah.
22.
Yeah.
That's going to hit.
Mm-hmm. And we get sneak attack because Salome's on him.
Okay.
That's 12 damage.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to run into the other room. Can they still see me?
I mean, they were facing you when you ran, so they will see you run into the other room.
But when I'm in the other room, does it break line of sight?
Yes.
I'm gonna run into the other room and use a bonus action hide.
You run into this room. You've broken line of sight from these two shamblers. You look around. The only place to hide, there are these stacks of logs. You think you could fit yourself between some of the logs. It's a pretty tight fit.
Yeah, can I fit myself up towards the top, maybe?
Sure. You climb up the stack a little bit and sort of wedge yourself between some of the logs.
Just wriggle on in there.
Do you have your head facing inward or outward?
Outward.
Okay. So you sort of army crawl backward into this little crevice.
It's not great, but it's a 14.
Cool. You sort of wedge yourself into this log pile. Next in the order is the shambler that's on Salome, so it's going to try and attack you again.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, it sinks its teeth into the armor on your arm and fails to find purchase.
I'm going to have to write a letter to Clovis. This is great.
Salome, it is your turn now.
Okay, I want to see if I can hit the one that I've Hexblades cursed. You know what? I just threw that dice away, and I think that was a sign. So I'm going to get a different one out.
It hasn't exactly been cooperating with you this whole time.
No, it's been cooperating with the story, though. I'm okay with that. Holy shit.
Yeah. Are they cooperating with the story?
No, they're cooperating with something. That is a 13.
It is another miss as you whiff air past this shambler.
Well, I wish I could be helpful. That's me.
Next in the order is the shambler on Hayden. It is going to try and attack them again.
Please do poorly this time.
That's a 19 to hit.
19 hits.
It's going to rear back and sink its teeth into you again. And that's going to be 6 points of piercing damage as it sort of, it bites you in the same place again.
I mean, it already hurts. It's all right.
Oh, and you feel your arm start to give a little bit in a way that it's not supposed to.
I don't like this.
Next in the order are the two shamblers that were on Stump. They follow you into the room. You see one of them sort of hunch around, start peering around. You see eyes sort of bubble to its surface, and it uses them to look. And it's not able to find you, so it starts to turn and move away from the room. The second one plants its face in the ground. You see it grow a snout, and it begins to sniff. It starts pulling itself along towards the logs and then starts pulling itself up the logs. You see it move past where you are hiding. You hear it. And it moves past you. It climbs to the top of the log pile and starts to look up there instead.
Very nice. Okay.
Next is top of the order. You hear the elevator creaking closer. It seems like it is almost here. Hayden, that's you.
All right, we're going to whack away at this one in front of me. That's 30 for the first hit, 27 for the second hit, and 16 for the third.
Yeah, they all hit.
But I will distribute those if we want to try and put everybody to sleep.
I don't think if the elevator seems like it's almost here, I'm not going to cast sleep. That's a second level spell. I'm not going to worry about
it. Oh, great. Then I will obliterate this guy.
Okay.
13 on the first hit.
Okay.
13 again on the second.
It's writhing, but it's still alive.
Then I'll hit it with the final hit.
Cool.
That's only 6.
Okay. Cool.
You look so smiley there.
Don't worry about it. You deal some pretty major hits to it, and it looks pretty horrible. Looks like it's on death's door. Whatever death awaits this thing.
Gah.
Stump, that's your turn.
Okay, so this is what I want to do. I want to try to be able to kick these logs out from the pile so they all roll down and hopefully takes the beast at least on top and the one on the ground with it.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping to do.
I think you would be able to do that if you emerge from your hiding place. Yeah. Otherwise, you risk getting squashed.
Yeah, I must. Yeah.
Okay. You emerge from your hiding spot. Let me have you do a strength check to push a massive log. I'm going to set it at a 17.
That's not going to be it. That's a 13.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
You struggle pretty hard against the log. It does not budge.
Well, it was a cool idea. I'm going to run away.
It was a cool idea.
Are you heading back into your hiding spot, or are you completely getting out of Dodge?
No, I'm booking it.
Okay, cool. You jump down off the logs. Next in the order is the shambler that's on Salome.
Ah, well, if I can't hit, neither can you, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't. You both share in your misery.
You want to just kind of stand here and watch them kind of bite and swing at each other? Just see how long it takes?
At this point, it's sort of kind of just gnawing on your arm repeatedly.
You know what?
It's like a nice massage.
Do you want to, like, hang out? What's happening? What's your deal?
You take her to dinner first.
I'm more of a girl's girl these days.
Hey, you don't know what it is.
You don't know what this thing is.
Great. That's your turn, Salome.
All right. Salome looks down at the handle of her sword, where she has wrapped this little vine around it, and thinks about how she can't hit, she can't access any of this family magic, and it's happening all right when she's here to try to save her family. And she thinks, of course, you have never been good enough at what they taught you to be able to help them. And thinking that, she puts her sword away and draws Thaddeus's revolver instead.
Ooh.
And says, all right, Thaddeus, darling. You said you'd always be there for me, so come through. And I'm going to step away from the shambler so that I don't have disadvantage on the shot. I'm going to take whatever opportunity attack it throws at me, and I'm going to fire two shots at this goddamn thing from range.
That's a 14 to hit. That's not going to do it.
Doesn't hit. So yeah, I'm going to fire two shots at it and then move to the elevator to get ready to get on.
Great.
19.
That hits.
And one is a 9, but we'll take the 19.
Yeah, roll some damage.
That's only 6 damage, but it's something.
You draw Thaddeus's revolver, and as you aim it, you notice that it feels warm in your hand, almost as if you're shaking somebody's hand. It fires loud. It is full on gunshot. As magic erupts from its end, it smashes against the shoulder of this little creature, which cries out. And that's your turn. Next in the order is the shambler that's gnawing on Hayden. It's going to continue to try and do so.
I'd really prefer you didn't.
That's an 18 to hit.
That'll hit.
This guy's having a great day.
This is the Bethany of shamblers.
Hayden and the Bethany shambler are killing it. Salome and hers are not doing very well.
That's going to be 7 points of piercing damage. It moves down your arm and sinks into your elbow this time.
How you looking, kid?
I'm bloody. It's not ideal. Not a fan. Not enjoying this.
The two shamblers that were following Stump, the first one is going to run 30 feet in order to try and rejoin the combat. So it is about, I'll say, 15 feet away from y'all right now. The other shambler that's on top of the log pile is going to try and make an investigation check to figure out where you went, Stump. With a 16 investigation, it sort of bolts upright, sprouts 3 eyes in the back of its head that see you running into the other room. It grows 3 mouths to scream and then sort of twists its body backwards in order to land on all fours and throw itself off of the log pile after you.
I'd love to eradicate these things from the face of the earth, please.
That is an 18 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That is 7 points of piercing damage as it snaps forward with its jaws and clamps around one of your ankles.
Hey!
Great, top of the order. You hear the screeching stop. The shutter pulls back, and the elevator is here. Hayden, it is your turn.
All right. My top priority here is to clear a path to get to the elevator. First off, I'm going to finish off the guy in front of me.
Great. Go for it.
27 to hit.
Yeah.
12 damage.
You eradicate it from the face of the earth.
That's what I wanted.
Great.
It's like another crossbow bolt in the cranium, and it shatters. There are three more shamblers. One's on Salome, and one is running towards you.
I'm good, Hayden. Take care of yourself.
Well, then I'm going to take care of Stump. I will bonus action move my hunter's mark and take my final shot on the one that's going after Stump.
Okay.
Thanks, kid.
27 to hit.
Great.
15 damage. And then I will step into the elevator, but I've still got my crossbow out to keep firing until everybody's in.
Okay, cool. Next in the order is Stump. Stump, this creature is gnawing your leg.
Hey, stop that.
And I just smash it in the head with another vial.
Okay.
For a poison spray.
That's a con save.
What's the number to beat?
15.
It succeeds with an 18.
Well, how far away am I from the elevator?
You're back in the oven room, so you're about 40 feet.
I'll take the attack of opportunity and just dash to get in there.
It's going to try and attack you with an unnatural 20 on the die. It's going to succeed.
Yeah.
And that is going to be 8 points of piercing damage as it slashes you across the back.
Okay.
With teeth. Yeah. It sort of reaches an arm out, and as the arm slashes you, you see it grow teeth on its front, and those teeth slash you.
I have seen some things in my life, and I never want to see anything like this ever again.
And you book it, and you get on the elevator.
Yeah.
Great. Next in the order is the shambler that's on Salome. It's going to move towards you to try and attack you.
I hope you do. I really hope you do.
It does. It's a 26 to hit.
Good. That hits.
That's going to be 15 points of piercing damage as it clamps down on your hand that's holding the revolver.
I fire into its mouth and cast a second level Hellish Rebuke.
Ooh, okay.
I guess dex save.
Okay.
First.
How dexterous is the inside of his mouth?
Not dexterous enough.
All right, yeah, Salome fires off as many shots as she can get off into this thing's mouth, and that is 22 fire damage directly into its mouth.
You'll love to see it.
You see the light erupt around the pistol as you fire it into this thing's gullet. God, it creates new holes in it that sort of seal up immediately. It's horrible.
Well, Thaddeus, darling, I gotta thank you for something.
It's not down, but it's not looking fantastic. Salome, that is your turn.
All right. I rip my arm out of this thing's mouth, holster the revolver, take out the sword for one last shot at this, grip tightly onto the briars and just think, please, 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 and try to stab into it one last time.
Do it up.
All right, that's a 16 to hit.
That hits.
Great.
Roll some damage.
All right. It's looking pretty bad.
It's looking bad.
All right, fuck it. Second level smite. It's always mad. I'm mad. with booming blade, 24 damage.
You fully cleave this thing in two. Just... It falls into two separate pieces which begin to dissolve into the earth. And it is gone.
Yeah, as it does, I think I absorb some life from it and get 6 points of health back.
Yeah, it doesn't taste great, but you get some.
And I'd step onto the elevator.
Oh, so you're all on the elevator then?
Are we all there?
Yeah.
Because Stump full dashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just bonus action, just spam the closed doors button.
Great, yeah. You, as an object interaction, click the lever. The gate begins to shutter into place. The elevator starts to descend. As you're exiting combat, you see the shambler throw itself at the shutter. You see the other shambler that was following Stump rejoin it. You see the second one leap at the first one and attach into its side. It sort of reforms, and now it is one big shambler. You see it
begin to pull the shutter back.
Oh, no, 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 no.
You watch as its fingers wrap around the bars, and then with a large effort, rip it off the hinges.
Love it.
It disappears from view for a second, and then you watch as it reappears from view, jumping fully into the elevator. It slams into the top of the elevator, rocking you all. And then you hear a snap. The sudden weight of all three of you and the shambler is too much for the rope suspending the elevator. It snaps, and all of you begin to free fall into the darkness. And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Ooh.
Rude. Rude.
Thanks so much for listening to episode 21 of Mage Hand High Five.
The Badlands. Want to show us your support for the show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Come check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive for just $5 a month. You can get in on the down low and get all sorts of behind the scenes goodies, hear our talkback show, and hear us get even more unhinged than we do in the main feed. It's wild. We're having a great time. Come and join us. Thanks to Jacob Kirzner for our orchestrations and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Mage Hand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. Try Underhand. Maybe I'll catch it that time. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers on Patreon. And this time, I'm going to try and do it in one breath. We'll see how it goes. Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, A.M. Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest, Oki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Mira the Nerd, El DeSoul, Julata Pang, Laura, Al, Chloe Utley, and Sammy Richardson. Oh, you're all great. If any more of you get added on, I'm not going to be able to make it. So test me. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell my dog about the show. Her name is Buffy, and she is very concerned about why I'm speaking into the void right now and not petting her. So when you do it, use the hashtag MHH5, and hey, how about a high five?